Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio this morning with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. Hopefully if I don't knock over the recording table.
Yes, yes, yes. We are talking about your book, Jesus the Life Coach, and we have been in the balance section for a few weeks of this book. And this week we're talking about leave regrets behind. What a great way to start a Thursday.
Yeah.
Forgetting the past, pressing on to the future, I think Paul said, right?
Exactly.
So break us into this this food this morning.
Well, the scripture that's quoted in the chapter is, once the hand is laid on the plow, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, you could ponder that scripture for a long, long time. You know, so I'd ask our listeners right now to picture the plow. Where is your hand in relation to the plow? And which direction are you looking?
Mm.
Are you looking back or are you looking forward? And
great question.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, in the opening paragraph, I talk about people saying they didn't want to die with the music still in them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at the Coronado Library the other day, there's a book about called The Regrets of the Dying or something. And, you know, you go through and you see that people regret that they didn't spend more time with their family or their friends, or they didn't call that friend that they had disconnected with, or
mm-hmm.
that they didn't do that, you know, trip to Vietnam that they had been talking. And so as we contemplate mortality, every day in the news, you know, what might you regret if you died tomorrow? And then that's a good way to look at moving forward.
Mm, powerful.
I have a funny little story. I was at a celebration in Dallas, and different people, they were beautiful. It was an anniversary celebration, and there were beautiful engraved silver buckets, ice buckets, on the tables. And then people drew names, and whoever won the raffle got to take it home. So I ended up in the elevator with this one man. He was dressed in a tuxedo, and he was holding this beautiful silver bucket. And I said, wow, I mean, this was a lucky day for you. And he smiled. He said, well, it was on my bucket list.
Wow.
Cute humor. So what's on your bucket list?
That's a great question. You know, you know, we often in this organization deal with people that are coming to us midway through their lives and asking the question, what am I here to do and what am I called to do and what was I designed to do? And so we get the fun opportunity of talking to lots of different people, hearing their stories. And it seems like that bucket list is like somewhere out in the future instead of in the present moment.
Right.
And I think one thing we learned in coaching is that we're always living in the future.
Yes.
We're never really living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes hard to get our logical minds around, because we think we're living in the moment, or we try to live in the moment, or people tell us, you know, just live in the moment, be in the moment. But really, we're always one step into the future. Every second that passes,
well, that's true.
It's towards the future. And so I wonder if sometimes our bucket list is so far out there in the future that we think we'll get to it someday.
Yes.
I wonder if that's part of the issue of regret and, oh, wow, I wish I would have taken more time,
mm-hmm.
or why didn't I just focus on that? You know, I'm not sure.
I think that's an excellent point. And as a wind fire, I'm really always in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very challenging for me to stay in the earthy, watery
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, we all know that. We got that down.
Yeah. And I was talking to my friend Catherine the other day, and she said, you know, what did you do yesterday? And I said, well, I've always wanted to spend a day trying to figure out what my dog, Roo, thinks. So in watching him, I actually set out on the deck in my studio, and for 4 hours I tried to stay in one spot. And she said, and what did you find out that Rue was thinking, you know, during a day on the deck in the studio, by the studio? And I said, I realized he wasn't thinking at all, but he was aware of everything.
Mm. Wow. You know,
the squirrel in the tree, or the scent of something, or a knock on the door in a neighbor's house. I mean, that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not that they're thinking at all, but they're just being fully aware.
Right. Wow, that's kind of a deep philosophical thought coming from a dog. So are you saying that we just need to be more aware and we'll have less regrets? I know you jump into this chapter and I think you tell us if we just took time to project into the future, if we took time to do that, is that part of awareness? Is that stillness? Is that what is that? How does that happen? I mean, to take 4 hours, and I'm sure you weren't just sitting there, but
I really was. It was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it was easier than I thought, which is one of my greatest fears.
That's funny. Okay, so if you have 4 hours and you can sit and just think about it, I guess that's one way to create a bucket list. I'm not sure how far you would get down that bucket list, but people generally have some big items in their bucket list, right? It's big things they want to accomplish, or a trip, or something they want to see before they die, or what do you think?
I don't know. I really think, and maybe it's because of the space I'm in right now, but this notion of awareness is so powerful. For it's the only place you can leave regret is in the now.
Mm.
And I was talking to my sister the other day about my feelings about Mom, you know, who passed away in February, and losing her had been one of my greatest dreads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I dreaded it. From the time I was a little girl, trying to imagine what it would be like to not have my mother with me. And in this chapter in the book, I talk about how I was always afraid that people I love would die without me having expressed how much I loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, about 10 years ago, Mom pulled out all these boxes of my love cards to her, and she said, honey, I get it. You love me. Now, what are we going to do with these 20 boxes?
Yeah.
So that
what a great image.
Yeah. But I was telling Kathy that I realized that it's not as bad. I mean, it's not bad at all living without her, because I'm aware of her presence all the time, particularly with butterflies all around me. But there's an awareness that she's right here.
Yeah.
So this thing that I dreaded for so many years in the moment is not bad at all. In fact, it's very peaceful because I don't worry about her now, and I'm not afraid of what's going to happen, or her falling, or anything like that. So
sure. All
of that concern wrapped in dread has turned out to be nothing.
Wow.
But peace on the other side.
Mm. Well, that's powerful. I'm not sure everybody could say that about a death and about a passing. But I want to go back to this passage, Lori, of putting your hand on the plow and not looking back, and this space of regret that we all have. We wish we would have done something differently. What do you offer folks who are maybe passing through a regret right now?
Mm-hmm.
They wish they would have done a business deal differently, or, you know, closed a relationship more smoothly, or, you know, how do we leave regret behind when it is sometimes those decisions happen without us being able to project into the future and taking time. I think what you're saying is awareness and time and projection helps us to leave regret behind.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we navigate that when we don't have that opportunity sometimes to project?
Well, I think there's one simple word, and that's forgiveness.
Mm.
To forgive ourselves. And forgive the circumstances that caused us to make different choices, perhaps.
Mm.
And that's the beauty of the gospel, the genius of the gospel, as you talk about in Studio G, that at any moment you can start life new.
Mm.
And maybe there is atonement. Maybe you need to make reparations or make amends,
mm-hmm.
you know, as they teach in the 12-step process. But if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. And this is what people miss when they try to bring in doctrine and dogma and, you know, slap scriptures on people and label
right,
them. And
right.
And one of the sayings that I've said often, but I haven't written it down, is the moment you label someone, you begin to erase them.
Mm.
So part of regret is not allowing yourself to be labeled as a loser or a deadbeat dad or,
sure.
you know, whatever. It's you can make it up starting now.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking a little journey through Joel Osteen's I Declare, his new book. And, wow, it is full of positive affirmation and, you know, letting go of old mindsets and starting every day declaring something new
mm-hmm.
that that you're going to do or be or see or be a part of. You know, I know you've spent a lot of time in the work of Mark Victor Hansen and some of those folks that really teach this positive affirmation. And I wonder if we lived more in that realm, if regret would be behind us.
Right.
If we lived more in a space of, wow, what was positive about what I just saw? Is there anything positive about that? Or do I always have to just think, wow, how awful, how terrible,
mm-hmm.
da-da-da? You know, a friend of mine just lost her dog. I think it swallowed a bee or something last night, and she came home, and the dog was gone. And, I mean, that's a terrible thing to have happen, right, to your pet. And, you know, can we look at a situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
Can we look at death? Can we look at tragedy and chaos and say, wow, what is happening here that is
mm-hmm.
good? Is there
mm-hmm.
anything good? Or do we look at those situations and we just say these are teachable moments, these are reality moments, these
mm-hmm.
are part of our life. But then I think sometimes regret gets wrapped around, oh, if I had just been here earlier,
right.
the dog wouldn't have died, or, you know, all these pieces. And, you know, Jesus approached that situation of death and said, she's not dead, she's sleeping.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus had the power to raise her and wake her up, right?
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of this spiraling back and forth, kind of like a top twisting sometimes, when we talk about these deep processes and understandings like the word regret. So I don't know where you're going to take that, but I'm just kind of rambling at the moment.
Well, you're obviously feeling the pain of the loss of your friend's pet, and that
mm-hmm.
is as painful for many people as the loss of a child. So
sure.
there's nothing you can slap on that that's going to make that feel better.
Right.
You know. But when you take the long view, which Jesus teaches us to do, and you take the view that, you know, she's going to see that pet again in heaven, and
mm-hmm.
and the pet obviously did not suffer a long life, and now she has room for a new, perhaps rescue dog,
mm-hmm.
or some, you know, another dog that can bring life to her children. And so there's, you know, there's just a lot. Take the long view, and
mm-hmm.
remember that we're made out of out of spirit. We are spirit. And so we're spirits experiencing physical, earthly things. But those will be wiped away. The tears will be wiped away in an instant. No regrets in heaven, for sure.
Amen. Amen to that. So you want to close us today, Lori, I think, with your final thoughts here about leaving regret behind.
Well, I think that when Jesus was saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of all people, you know, don't live a small life.
Mm.
Don't regret what you could have done. Go for the big stuff. Go for the big living stuff, not accomplishments, but that expands your soul and expresses your soul. And the final sentence in that chapter was, Jesus said, don't go out and build a bigger barn. Build a bigger life.
Mm. Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Lori Beth, for your time today. We appreciate it, and we look forward to next week as well. Have a good day.